Good evening. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. One of the most difficult things about preaching the gospel is that when you stand up in front of people with the intent to proclaim the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him, is that I'm the one who's talking. You're looking at me to tell you, to teach you, to show you something. Now, I'm not a person who is short on confidence. I'm a little cocky, I'm a braggart, and definitely think too highly of myself. When I was a child, the verse of Scripture I heard my mother say to me 100 times more than any other was Luke, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." But when I stand up here, I am truly scared that the Lord is going to let me do the talking, that He's going to leave me alone to speak foolishly, that I will misguide you, and that you're going to hear my words. I wouldn't even attempt to do this if there weren't so many examples in His Word, such as, "I will not leave thee or forsake thee. With man it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." And I don't say all this to get pity from you. I don't say this so that you'll make sure to pray for me, though I beg of you to do that, and I need it. I say it all to set up the message. In Matthew 7, look at verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This passage clearly states that some of the people who preach in Christ's name are not saved. Anyone who stands up and does this, that's a very serious thing. I've always thought the way to identify the difference or tell them apart, those that are or are not saved, is what's in the message. And that's true to an extent. But this week I noticed that the answer is actually in the very same passage. How to tell these apart? It says, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" The little word "in" is all the difference there. Those men were using the name of Christ to say what words they wanted to say. I don't stand up here tonight to preach in Christ's name. I stand up here with a desire to preach Christ. I don't want to use the Lord as a way to make you believe what I say. I want to say what the Lord said and tell you to believe Him. And I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to make the little word "in" a big deal and split hairs here. This is way too important for that. Why I'm saying this is that you don't need to look at what a man wears, how he looks, how he talks. Don't focus on any titles, on any education, on what school someone went to, or how big a congregation is, or how ornate or big a robe or an outfit is. The authority in the message, any message, doesn't come from any of those things. You need to examine if the message is telling you what to do or if it's telling you what he's already done. Make sure the focus isn't on us, or worse, the preacher, but completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And look upon the content of the message. If it comes from the preacher's words or God's words. John says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." So my goal tonight is to take a few minutes and talk about why God's word is so important, why we must use it when we're preaching and teaching, and why we must believe it. Now, the first reason is because it's the words of God. Turn over to John 1. This makes me think of when I tell my children what to do. I tell them to do something. Then they look at me and say, "Why?" And then I give the answer, "Because I said so." This sounds simple, that the first reason the Word of God is so important to us is because it's the Word of God. But very few people actually treat this Word that way. In John 1, it says, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In Hebrews it says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." God spoke this world into existence. That's how powerful His words are. Then God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. He's the potter, we're the clay. Once He created us perfectly, we fell into sin. So where does that put us? Where we are today. We're sinners with no hope apart from this Creator. As sinners, we must look for a way to salvation. That's why we look to His Word. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Look in verse 10. And this is John speaking. "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me," verse 10, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Our Savior's name is the Word of God. Those can be interchanged. And as I continue talking and I say God's Word or the Word of God, you can translate that as the Savior, as Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2. As we read this verse, remember, we must believe this book is His word. It's God's word. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We can't just believe parts of this book or the things in here that fit our opinions, but the whole book. And we should thank God, as they did here, without ceasing, for making us receive it as His word. Without Him, we would go about thinking these were words that crazy people read, that they believed. We would not understand the importance of this and how it truly is God's word. Joshua said to this people, to the people, unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now, another reason why the word is so important is because He gave it to us. Or you could also say He gave it for us. It was written for us. In the Psalms, it's written, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. God was the one who gave the word. But those that wrote it and sent it out was a great company. And I love that it says, great was the company of those that published it. And the word published it actually translates to announce cheerfully. Everything in the Bible was written under divine inspiration from God. Everything in this word is written for His children. Sunday, we heard Eric preach, and he gave an illustration of they had a situation at their house and in their neighborhood where a criminal, a murderer, was in their neighborhood, and they couldn't find him. And he was staying up and couldn't sleep and didn't sleep the whole first night. And then all of a sudden he found a verse of scripture that said that the watchman has no purpose if the God is not in it, if the Lord is not with him. There's nothing that you or I can go through in this world. There's nothing that can happen to us, no situation we can ever find ourselves in, that there is not a specific verse, chapter, or portion of this scripture that was not written for that exact moment for our comfort. That's the word of God. If we search it, we will find it. And that's a reminder to us to make sure in those moments when we're in trouble, when we're in travail, look to His word. I find myself so often not doing that, and then I find something later, and it's all I think to myself is, man, I sure wish I would have found that 2 months ago. It's because I wasn't looking for it. Now, the Old Testament of His word foretells of His coming. And many of the prophets, or that great company that foretold of His coming, they thought it was so important to let everyone know that they weren't saying their words, but they were writing God's words, that a large group of those men actually start their chapters by saying something along the lines of, let whoever read it know that it came from the Lord. They say, the word of the Lord came to me saying. And they continually say this. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see how the Savior is here. And we see many passages that are telling about what He did and then His words Himself. And then if we continue, the rest of the New Testament tells us of what He's done and that He's coming again. But all of that is given to us. Now, if we continue and say, why is God's word so important? We could say, because the whole thing is about Him. Every single word in the word of God is about the Lord Jesus Christ, about God Almighty. He deserves our praise. Everything in this is to praise and glorify Him. Nothing needs to be given to us to make us or make Him deserve our praise. He is God, and we must repeat, as the psalm writer wrote, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and that I not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Then in Jude he said, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and might, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, I've shortened those so I can combine them into this. God's word is the most important thing in the world. That's because it's God's actual words, because He gave it to us, and because it's all about Him. Now, the fourth reason is the one that we love to hear. It's the one I love to talk about. And it can be actually told by using the first three reasons. So listen to me carefully here as I combine these reasons. The first reason is in God's word, God told us about ourselves. His word tells us who we are and what we've done. Reason two is He gave the word of God to us. Now remember, I read in Revelation and we saw in John where it said that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings also went by the name the Word of God. So if we take that out and fix it, reason two actually says Christ gave Himself to us. And the third reason it's all about Him is that God gets the glory. So if we sum those three reasons, we say this. God told us who we are. Our Creator told us who we are and what we've done. And He gave Himself to us as a Savior, and He gets all the glory for doing it. The fourth reason why do we think the Word of God is so important to us is because that's where a sinner can find a Savior. In Luke it says, for unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Matthew wrote, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Hebrews it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and to all them that obey him. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All these verses continue to tell us where a sinner can find a Savior. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In Hebrews it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In Matthew it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now turn over to Titus with me. Titus 3. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In Romans it says, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now go to the book of Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then lastly, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. And look at verse 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, I read a lot of scriptures there because I don't have the words better to express why we look in this book for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Let me finish with one more reason why the Word of God is everything to a believer, and that no man should dare preach anything other than the Word of God. I started this message with a concern, with the worry that I always have that I'll be standing up here by myself and that all you'll hear are my words and not God's words. I'm going to finish the message saying the last reason in just a minute, or just a second. And then I'm going to read the passage that goes along with that from God's Word. So turn over to Luke chapter 24. Not that we need another reason, but the final reason is that we must use the Word of God in preaching because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ used. Look at Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto them, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass therein these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And their eyes were opened, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? We'll stop there.